On May 1st and 2nd, we're celebrating Public Media Giving Days, a chance for you to show your love for WQED, the home of Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. Every contribution made to WQED on May 1st and 2nd will be matched dollar for dollar up to $15,000, thanks to WQED's Board of Directors. Plus, we'll send you a one-of-a-kind Mr. Rogers vinyl sticker so you can proudly display your love for WQED anywhere you'd like. Go to wqed.org/pmgd to donate now.
Good morning, Yihang Young. It is so nice to speak with you, and I'm so excited you're coming to Pittsburgh. You're going to be playing the piano with Chatham Baroque or for the Chatham Baroque season. Good morning. How are you doing?
Good morning, and I'm doing great. I'm still here in New York City, but mm-hmm. I'm ready to go on the road. And before I come to Pittsburgh, I have the great pleasure of playing in Columbus and Cedarville, Ohio. So can't wait to see Pittsburgh again.
Oh, so you have been here before?
It's been a long time, so I haven't. Yeah.
Great.
I'm excited. Yeah.
So tell me about your program that you'll be doing. It's called Humor, Wit, and Pathos, Tales from the Classical mm-hmm. Forte Piano. Mozart, Haydn, and Beethoven, and yet also the interesting fact that you're playing on a replica of an 18th century Viennese forte piano. That alone sounds amazingly fascinating and complicated in some ways.
Well, it is fascinating and complicated, but also so much fun. It's a pure joy. And what's going to happen with this recital on Saturday, September 24th in Pittsburgh for Chatham Baroque is I'm bringing my own replica Viennese forte piano.
Wow.
It is an exact or as precise a copy of Mozart's own piano, which is now still there in his birth house in Salzburg. It's on display. And an incredible artist and artisan named Christopher Clark, who's an Englishman who was in France, he copied it. He, you know, measured every single dimension and proportion of the hammers and the materials, the special kinds of leather and wood that is original to a 1790s type Mozart forte piano.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'm bringing one with me to Pittsburgh, this replica by Christopher Clark, and I'll be playing on it. So we're going to hear the original sound of what a piano was like for Mozart. And there's a lot of interesting differences, which I think bring out the real liveliness of his music and Haydn and Beethoven.
So why is that? Why is the forte piano different? We've become so used to the tempered piano and how it sounds. This is a brighter sound. The sound decays a bit faster. Tell me a little bit more about this instrument.
Yes, indeed. The sound decays a lot faster because the piano is smaller. It's kind of the size of a harpsichord. The frame is very similar. And the keyboard is only 5.5 octaves versus the 8 octave modern piano. And there's a really crisp, delicate sound due to the fact that there's a lot less tension in the strings. The strings aren't as thick and massive, and the hammers are much smaller than on a modern piano, so you get a lot of super quick articulation and delicacy, and it ties in with this sense of dialogue and storytelling, just quick-wittedness and conversation and quick turns of wit and changes of mood that goes so well with Mozart and Haydn and Beethoven's music.
So what was it about this music that appealed to you as you were sort of becoming this fabulous pianist, if I may say? I mean, all I hear, see, or read fabulous reviews and praise, especially for your most recent Free Spirits CD that just has come out that features Fanny Hensel, Mendelssohn, Schumann, and Schubert. Once again, playing the forte piano. So it's Mozart, it's Haydn, it's Beethoven. Tell me about these composers.
Well, I mean, this is the music that anyone who has taken piano lessons or even gone into a study of it more seriously as a music major like I was. I went to Juilliard for my undergrad in regular modern piano. This is the bread and butter of our repertoire, Mozart, mm-hmm. Haydn, and Beethoven. And I have a very still distinct sense of revelation when I played Mozart and Beethoven on an original style forte piano from the 1800s, late 1700s. The music just jumped out at me in a way that had never been, even after, you know, so many years of study and wonderful, you know, musicians and teachers who had talked about the music and taught it to me. Mm-hmm. There's something this piano did that spoke the music, and it came out so effortlessly. Wow. And like the meaning of a forte in a piano or a sforzando in Beethoven, it was just like talking. So I was totally hooked. I was a graduate student finishing my doctorate at Juilliard in regular piano at that time. So I quickly flew off to Amsterdam Conservatory because I was like, I want to study this. I want to study the forte piano because it has, you know, sort of clarified and made this music fresh in a way that I was searching for a long time.
Mm-hmm. And as a faculty member at Juilliard, are you teaching the forte piano?
Yes, I am starting to do more and more. I've just become an official faculty member of the Historical Performance Department this year. And I'm doing a lot of courses, actually not on forte piano, but in historical improvisation, which is another fascinating field of study.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm also directing a concert for the historical performance students this year, where I'm going to be curating a program for the Viennese forte piano that's being built right now by Tom and Barbara Wolf down in Washington, D.C., in that area. They're incredible forte piano makers as well, and they're copying a Haydn piano called the Schanz. So we're going to inaugurate that piano in a concert with me and the Juilliard students and some other faculty in late February 2023. So, yeah, I'm able to work with the students on the forte piano, and there's such a growing interest all the time. Like either modern pianists who want to explore the repertoire with this different kind of instrument that is from the time period, or students who are already playing Baroque instruments and harpsichords and Baroque violins and want to play chamber music of the classical period.
Well, we think of pianos now and how they sort of are just made piano after piano somewhat the same. So you have a Viennese forte piano, and then you have a piano that's being made, or there's a piano being made in Washington, D.C. after Haydn's style. Is there a huge difference between how these pianos are made?
Oh, that's an excellent question. And between the Haydn and the Mozart piano, I don't think there's huge differences in terms of the nature of the action, which is a Viennese-type action,
mm-hmm.
which is very quick and delicate. And then the sort of dimensions and the use of knee levers instead of foot pedals in the range, that's very similar. But what you see after Mozart and Haydn, just 15, 20 years later, when we get into Schubert and late Beethoven, is that there is a huge variety of ways in that people are trying to figure out how to build a piano. It's mm-hmm. kind of, you know, these days with new kinds of technology, how to make the best laptop or phone. There was a period of great innovation that accompanied this period of a lot of prolific keyboard writing. So there were people in Germany and Vienna, France, Italy, and England who are all making pianos. And then when you compare an English versus a French piano versus a Viennese piano, then you have a lot of more marked differences. And
mm-hmm.
Well, so in England, you have pianos like Broadwood, and in France, Pleyel and Erard. And they, in general, in France, they liked a more robust tone. They had a heavier action. And in England, they also liked a very resonant tone, a less clean sort of ending of the note. Where the Viennese, it's very crisp. You can hear the beginnings and ends everything very well. So well, that was just their taste. That was different from country to country.
Isn't that interesting how the taste changed with, your listening audience? Your latest CD, Free Spirits, now that's early romantic music on the graph piano. What is a graph piano?
Oh, yeah. The graph piano is an original that I recorded on. And it's Graf was probably the most famous piano maker in the 1820s and 30s. He made a piano for Beethoven, of all people, and also knew Clara Schumann and Robert Schumann, the Mendelssohns. Everybody knew him. He's considered the premier piano maker from the early to mid 1800s.
Mm-hmm.
So there was there's a gorgeous preserved piano that used to belong to Edward Swenson, who's a wonderful historical piano restorer up in Ithaca, and now is in the collection of the Piano Performance Museum in Hunter, New York, which is in the Catskills. So I recorded on the Graf, and really that era of music, the early Romantic period, is really close to my heart. I think it's just who I am, the poetry and the whimsy and the all of that really true in expression. So it's a different world. It shifts from the Mozart piano. You get, for example, more notes. There's like an octave added by the 1820s Graf piano versus the Mozart piano, which is five and a half octaves.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a lot more resonant sound. It's a bit more singing. There are usually like four pedals, if not five, for different sound effects. Someone's like a moderator, which puts a piece of velvet over the strings. You get a really soft, velvety sound, which is gorgeous for Schubert, who has lots of triple pianos and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
But it still has that kind of early sound in terms of the articulation, the precision that you can play notes so that it sounds a bit more like people speaking or singing words. So that's something that I really enjoy doing.
Oh, that's wonderful. I have to say, I want to play just a little bit of the number four from Opus 8, the Wanderlied.
Yes.
Yes, here it is. I think we can both hear it. I love the sound of that piano, that Graf piano. That's beautiful.
It is. It's really one of the most gorgeous piano sounds you'll hear. And I recorded it in a beautiful concert hall at University in New Jersey. And it was probably one of my favorite projects to do this album. And
wonderful. Now I have to, I have to ask, how does one travel with a piano? It's hard enough if someone's carrying around a harp, but to carry a piano around with you, how do you do that?
It's constant logistics, and I'm very friendly with many moving companies around New York City and the areas where I concertize. This time, I'm bringing my piano in a minivan, and my father, who is retired and one of the nicest people you'll ever meet, he's coming with me, so we're going to have a nice road trip out to Ohio and then Pittsburgh. And,
great.
Yeah.
So your dad is your roadie. I love it.
Yes, he's the best.
That's fabulous. Well, we're so excited about Humor, Wit, and Pathos, Tales from the Classical Forte Piano, Yihang, that you'll be playing the Haydn, two Haydn pieces, two Mozart pieces, and then the Beethoven Sonata, Opus 31, on this beautiful instrument that you're bringing with you, the 18th century Viennese Forte Piano. Even Early Music America said that you have a remarkable expressivity and technique for being superbly adept. That's from Gramophone. So we are excited to hear you here in Pittsburgh. Welcome back.
Thank you so much. I can't wait to come back to Pittsburgh. Hope to see you next Saturday.